Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
There's often a gap of time between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. Just something that we need to understand. When God speaks and gives a promise, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes I have found that there is a gap of time between that giving and then when it actually comes to place. Yet, we are called to trust in the Lord, right? Isaiah 40:31, we know this one. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll walk and not grow weary. They'll run and not faint.
Are you an impatient person? Do you get frustrated when someone's not going as fast as you would? In today's edition of Burning Hearts, Pastor Michael talks about how sometimes we need to wait on the Lord. The Lord will always answer our prayers, but sometimes not in the time we expect. His timing is perfect, and we have no idea what His timing is. When we wait on the Lord, we make sure that His will is being done. As we go on pursuing God, let's make sure to work at His pace, because He is perfect. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 15 as he begins his message, Contentious or Content.
We're going to be back in Genesis today. Last week, if you did listen in, we were in Genesis chapter 15, and we went through the entire chapter. And today, we're going to be in 16, but we're only going to get through five verses. You know, I really believe that followers of God, we should be known for certain things. Like, people should look at us and we should look different than the world, right? And one of those characteristics that I think is very important for Christians to be seen and known as is those that are content. Those that are not whining and complaining and always pessimistic and negative. And by the way, we live in a world where it can be easy to be that way, right? To be negative about so much. But man, I think it's one of the characteristics. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, it's in Philippians, but he says, I've learned to be content. Like, I had to learn it. I love that. He says, I've learned to be content whether I have just a little teeny bit and I'm really hungry. I've learned to be content. Or I've learned to be content when I have Or if I'm well fed, he goes, I've learned to be content in any and every situation. And we have that in Philippians chapter 4, because I think that's a lesson for us to be content in things. And you know what I found? We can get anything we want today. Really, we can get it pretty quickly. We can, like, if there's something that you desire, we got the internet, man, we can get anything we want. Matter of fact, just to kind of start us out today, I looked at some goofy things that you can get. And so bear with me, this is my weird brain. For $359, do you know that you can buy a pet stroller? You don't even have to take your animal for a walk. You can get a stroller for your pet. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous, but whatever. Not as bad as the next thing. Poop freeze. $25 can. It lasts for five poops. And you can, listen, I read this. It's true. You can buy this. You freeze it so that you can pick it up with your hands. Oh, you have to have this, right? Sorry, so many stupid things. I was like, no way. I didn't know this is apparently you can get a breathalyzer for yourself that cops don't just have anymore. For $130, you can get it in your car. If you're so stupid to drink and then get behind the wheel, you can actually breathalyzer. Apparently, he has a couple. Next thing, sorry. Lord of the Rings, if you're a fan, for $700, you can buy a Lord of the Rings ring. Like, you need this in your life, guys. You gotta have it. This is another one, $99, this thing I found called a nap time pillow. You can bring this to work. Bring it to church, you know, I don't care. Wherever you want, dude. And this thing is just ridiculous, I love it. Okay, last thing, sorry, I just saw this. If you're someone that likes to eat, you know, cheesy foods, you can get these little covers, check this out, little finger covers for your cheesy food, and it won't. I saw that and I was like, that's the best part about eating cheesy food. Like, I would never have it. Anyway, stupid. We can get so many stupid things, man, today, and you can get them right away. I remember when I was a kid, back in the 2000s. No, I would tell my mom, I'd say, Mom, you know, I just want some popcorn. And she would get out this big honking pot and pour oil in it and the kernels. And it was a production. It was a big deal. Like, you got popcorn on your birthday, dude. And it was splattered everywhere. And it was a big deal. And I remember when they came out with the Jiffy Pop. You guys remember Jiffy Pop? Yeah. And it had like the handle and you had to stand there and shake it. And it would go, and it would like get bigger and bigger and bigger, like the hairdos of women in church in the 70s. Now, what do? You grab a bag in less than 3 minutes, you got popcorn, like kettle corn, anything you want, it's awesome. We can get anything we want right away. And you know what's happened with all of that? The fast food, instant noodle society that we live in. We have sort of grown accustomed to it, and we've sort of grown a little bit selfish, and we sort of have this attitude that it's this attitude. I want what I want, and I want it right now. Dude, do not even make me wait for more than 10 minutes at McDonald's. Are you kidding me? What's the number for the manager? You're in trouble. But it's that attitude, and I want what I want, and I want it right now. It can be our cry. Now, our study last time, and if you weren't there, I'll just give you a summary of it. God promised Abram. His name is not Abraham yet, and his wife's name is not Sarah yet. It's Abram and Sarai. God's going to change their names. But in chapter 15, God promised them that he would give them children, not just any children, many, many children. He's going to give them children as numerous as the stars in the sky. We read later in Genesis chapter 22 that God says, I'm going to give you children, not just like the stars in the sky, but as the sand on the seashore. So that's a lot of kids, right? And so that was the promise that God had given. Now, God, I think, in wanting to demonstrate his power in a cool way, wants to show how he can do way beyond what any human could ever even imagine could be done. God can do. And so what God has happened here, we're going to read in 16, is God has Abram and Sarai wait. Now, he's given them this promise. You're going to have all these kids, but Sarai doesn't immediately, you know, get pregnant. She's waiting, and God has them wait because, and again, this is very important. I think it's because God wants to demonstrate that he can do things that are impossible with man. Amen? That's what God can do. So, in the meantime, though, while they're having to wait and God's making them wait and going to show his power or whatever, Abram and Sarai, they don't want to wait. They want what they want, and they want it right now. And so they become very impatient, and they start to plan and connive and kind of make something happen in their own strength. They sort of want to help God out with this promise. I don't know if you've ever had that sort of temptation to want to do that, you know? Maybe you felt like God was speaking something to you in your life, and you're like, God, that's awesome. Yes, I want that to happen. You're not really moving on my timetable, Lord. So I think I'm going to sort of maneuver things, make things happen on my timetable. Does that make sense? I remember having a young man one time in our church tell me, we had a pretty large college group, and he came up and he said, Pastor Michael, man, God told me last night in a dream that I'm going to marry that girl. And she was a beautiful girl. And this kid was hard to look at. I'm just going to tell you. And I just remember thinking, like, that is going to be a miracle. Like, are you sure, dude? Like, she's hot. You know, like, are you serious? Like, really? And he's like, oh, man, he told me. And I'm just like, all right, well, you know, okay, you know. Don't rush things, bro. That's a stupid illustration. But, you know, sometimes we want to get ahead of God. And sometimes we think we hear God telling us stuff, and it might not be God. You know, there's a little motto that people say, or a little saying. It's this one: God helps those who help themselves. You guys ever heard that before? I've had people say it in Bible study. Well, you know, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. I'm like, no, actually, the Bible doesn't say that. You said that. That's not the truth. But that's sort of our attitude. Like, if God needs to get something done, I'm going to help him get it done so that we can get this thing done quicker. And I got to sort of do my part. And so we designed these various plans or whatever to try to help God out. That is the unhappy experience of Abram and Sarai in chapter 16. They want to help God out, and it gets them in all kinds of trouble. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about this in weeks to come, but the trouble that they get into, we are still feeling today. with the separation between the Palestinians and the Israel people. It all stems from the story that we're about to read. So, verse 1, Abram's wife Sarai had not borne any children for him. Let me stop there. Let me just say this. The promise has been given. God gave, he said, Abram, you and your wife, Sarai, are going to have kids. Numerous as the stars. It's going to happen. When God gave that promise to Abram, he was, ready? 76 years old. His wife was 66 years old. Okay? They're not spring chickens. All right? I mean, this is old. All right? So at this point now in chapter 16, he's not 76, she's not 66. Abram is now 86 and she is 76. So it's been 10 years. 10 years after God has given them the promise, you're going to have these kids. They're going to be as numerous as the stars. You imagine at first, Abram's like, okay, yeah. You know, the Bible tells us that he believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. We read that last time. Like, so he believed that Abram had faith, but in spite of his faith and in spite of God's word and his promise, nothing happens, dude, for 10 stinking years. And I'm telling you, man, if you've ever been in a situation where God's called you to wait, it's hard. It's hard. And so they want to, obviously, they begin to realize things aren't working. You know, there's a principle here that I think is really important, and I think we should get it. And this is the principle. When God gives a promise, there's often a gap of time between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. Just something that we need to understand. When God speaks and gives a promise, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes I have found that there is a gap of time between that giving and then when it actually comes to place. Yet, we are called to trust in the Lord. Right? Isaiah 40:31, we know this one. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll walk and not grow weary. They'll run and not faint. Amen? So waiting on God is a big part of this whole thing. And in Abram's case now, we're going to find he's waited 10 years. He's actually going to wait 25 years until the child of promise, his son Isaac, is born. 25 years is a long time. So why does God do that? Is God's delay procrastination? Answer, no. Is God delaying because of preoccupation? He's just too busy for you. The answer, no. So why does God make us wait? If it's not procrastination and it's not preoccupation, why is he doing it? Listen carefully. This is it. It's preparation. He has us wait because God is preparing us in the arena of faith. He's building up our faith. I don't get it. If I were God, dude, I would set it up differently. But he's God. And he somehow has recognized and realized within his people that if we will be those who wait on him, our faith will be built up. And listen, we know the scriptures, right? The Bible tells us in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible tells us that we must be those who walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Well, what's that about? Why can't I see it? Why can't I just do it, God? Come on, why don't you show up? I mean, listen, if I, all of a sudden, this stool that I'm sitting on just started levitating, and I was like, Holy Father, and you would all go and tell everybody, and I'll bet there'd be twice as many people here next week. Dude, at that church, the dude has a lisp, he has tattoos, and he levitates. You gotta go, man, right? But God's like, no, I'm not gonna do all this weird, funky stuff that, you know, trip people out. I want you to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. We believe in a God that no one else can see. Do you know how weird you are? People walking by to go to the gondola right now, and they're just going, what are those wackadoos doing in there? Singing, listening to some dude talk for an hour? What are you doing? Yet we know in here, he's captured our hearts. You could never convince me or us that he's not real. He did. There's something, you know, the old song, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Think about that. Well, how do you know he lives? Prove it. Come on. In my heart, I'm different. I don't want to do the crud I used to do. Amen. It's like he's changing me. He's in the process of changing me. So anyway, he's building our faith. Why does he make? It's not procrastination or prayer. He's preparation. He's preparing us in the arena of faith. Let me give you a few scriptures on this in Hebrews chapter 6. Now we desire each of you to demonstrate the same diligence for the full assurance of your hope until the end. Now listen to this. So that you won't become lazy, but you will be imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. So what's he saying here? He's saying, listen, I don't want you guys to be lazy. I want you to imitate. Imitate who? The people we read about in the Bible who God promised stuff to and they got it. Like they inherited those promises. You should imitate them. Like if you want the promises and you want God to him to do those promises, come through on his word, then imitate those people. Okay, that sounds great. How do I do that? Through faith and perseverance. You're gonna have to believe in something that you cannot see. Absolutely, it's gonna require faith. And it's gonna require some action to your faith. It's gonna require perseverance. In other words, there might be people who make fun of you at work. There may be people who don't understand you in your own family. And yet, you're gonna have to endure, dude. You're gonna have to persevere. And you're gonna have to live by faith and trust in a God that you may not see. Or he may not even be talking for a season. You may be in the season of silence. You know, believing in God, gang, it requires something of us too. You know, the Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved. Everybody heard that verse? All right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I used to think, okay, that's great, you know? I just believe him. So someone invites me to church and I nod my head and I go, okay, yeah, I guess I believe that. That's great. I get to go to heaven? All right, cool. Okay, great. Now I'm going to go live like hell. As long as I believe it. But then I read this other weird, funky little verse in the Bible that says that even the demons believe and tremble. Okay, well, so hold on, wait. It's more than just believing. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him, there's always this action involved. Listen, let me give you an example. You're laying in bed one night, okay? You're asleep, and you hear this bam, 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 bam on your front door, and it's your neighbor, and he's screaming at you, your house is on fire, dude! Get out, your house is on fire! And so you sit up and you're like, oh, it's my crazy neighbor, Kevin. He's wasted or whatever. I don't know. And so you roll over in bed and you go to sleep. Now, let me ask you, he warned you about the fire. Did you believe? No, you didn't. But if you get your rear end up out of bed, get your dog, get your family, rush them out of the house, now you believe the warning of that the fire's there. Does that make sense? And listen, this is the same idea of believing. You can listen to some guy tell you there's a fire coming, bro. And you need to get yourself up and get your family prepared. But you can nod your head and everything. But if you don't get up and do it and get your family out, do you really believe? Are you with me? This thing, God is working on you and I to develop within us faith. Hebrews chapter 10. He says, don't throw away your confidence. Listen, the things that you're confident in, don't throw that away, which has great reward. You need what? Endurance. So that after you've done God's will, you may receive what's promised. You got to endure, dude. You got to have it. And guess what's going to happen? You will receive what God has promised you. So there's gaps between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. But here's the second principle I want to share with you. Those gaps provide opportunities for the muscle of faith to be exercised. So if you're in a waiting period right now in your life, don't dread that. Be content in it and say, God, you're building something. You know, I've used this illustration before, but if you see a little caterpillar, and we all know how they get transformed into a butterfly, and it's awesome. They wrap themselves up in a cocoon, they hook themselves to a tree or whatever, and then they, you know, after a few weeks or months or whatever, they bust out of the cocoon and they fly. But listen, if you took a pocket knife and you went up to that little cocoon as you saw it wiggling and you said, oh, I'm gonna help my little buddy out. And so you cut open the cocoon and everything. Do you know that the butterfly would die? Why? Because it's in the struggle that the blood is pushed out into the wings. and then he can soar. Dude, it's the same with you and I. It is in the struggle that our faith can soar. If somebody told you that becoming a Christian, everything was going to be peachy keen after that, sorry, lie. Sometimes it's a struggle, but sometimes God's in that struggle because he's helping us build into the people of faith that he longs for us to be. Amen? All right. So we got halfway through verse 1. Let's keep going here. Sorry. Abram's wife Sarah had not borne children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife for him. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan or Canaan for 10 years. So check this out. I think this is really interesting. It sounds really crazy to us, right? Like this is gonna, you know, hey, just sleep with my maid, you know? And Abram's like, are you serious? Okay. I mean, it's just whacked out. This is nuts for us. But you need to understand, in this culture, this was not an uncommon practice, especially as I was researching it in the area of Babylon and Ur, which is the city where Abram came from. This was a practice that was very well known. So it's not as weird as it sounds to us. You know, Sarai, it's her idea. She comes up with this idea saying, listen, obviously, I'm looking at our bodies are aging here. And God gave us this promise 10 stinking years ago. I am now 76. Abe is 86. It's obviously not happening. God, we're going to help you out with your promise. So we'll just do what the custom of the day is. And we'll give you, I'm going to give you my top maid slave or whatever, Hagar. Okay? So she does that. Now, I just want to point this out because this is another third principle I want to bring about today. And I think it's really interesting. Those of you that have been studying with us in the book of Genesis, you might remember in Genesis 4 chapters ago, in Genesis chapter 12, Abram and his wife Sarai are going into this new area and there's a king, and Abram looks at his wife, they're younger, and he says, my wife is so beautiful. I know that when we go into this place, the king is gonna want her for his harem and he's gonna kill me because I'm her husband. So Abram, before they get to town, he looks at his wife and he says, Sarai, when we get there, so that it'll go good for me, I need you to tell everybody that you're my sister. Okay? Little Arkansas action happening here. Just kidding. That was horrible. Sorry. If you're from Arkansas, God bless you. But you know what I'm saying? So he's like, just tell everybody you're my sister. So they go in there and everything. And sure enough, she's so beautiful. The king takes her into his harem and you know the rest of the story. So follow me here. They're faced with a problem. Abram thinks he's going to lose his life. His only solution that he can come up with, because he's an idiot, the only solution he can come up with is to give his wife to another man. Four chapters later, his wife comes up with a problem. I'm too old. And the only possible solution she can come up with is to give her husband to another woman. What's the point? My point is this. She did the exact same thing that her husband does. And I'm reminded of this principle, gang. And please get this, man. If you don't get anything else, get this. How we respond at hard times and trials is watched and it's scrutinized and it's even imitated by people that are closest to us. Here she is imitating her husband, exactly what he did. And what's the big deal? The big deal, gang, is that when you and I face trials, this world, our families, our spouses, our grandkids, our kids, they are watching us. They don't give a flying rip how we do when everything's going hunky-dory. You know what impresses them is when we're going through trials and we go through a loss and they watch us and they're like, look at Dad. Look at how he's handling this situation. I want to be that kind of a person. I want to be that kind of a man.
You've been listening to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft. Pastor Michael has more to share from the book of Genesis, so be sure to join us again. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Burning Hearts Radio Ministry by visiting our website, thealpinechapel.com. Once there, you'll be introduced to the church behind this ministry, the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. We'd love to have you join us for worship. We meet together to learn from God's word and spend time praising his name. It's an incredible time of fellowship. So if you're in the area, make plans to join us Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. You'll find all the information you need, including directions, at thealpinechapel.com. If you're not in the area, you can still be a part of our Sunday morning worship. We're streaming this service live right from our website as well as on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, come follow our page for all the latest updates and event invitations. You can follow the link at our website or just search for The Alpine Chapel. If you ever have any questions about what you heard on Burning Hearts or would like to ask us to pray with you, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can send us a message on Facebook or just visit the contact page at thealpinechapel.com. One more time, that's thealpinechapel.com. Well, we've officially come to the end of our time with you today. Place a marker where you've left off in Genesis and make plans to join Pastor Michael again next time, right here on Burning Hearts.